For the past 30 years, Care Heating and Cooling put you first. You are the reason they are open 7 days a week. You are why they make it easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Concern for your safety is why they check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. It's because of you that their technicians are paid to fix your furnace and air conditioner, not sell you a new one. And if you do need a new furnace, their team will make sure you get exactly what you need at a cost that fits your budget. Care Heating and Cooling is committed to doing business right. Call them at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
Brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 19th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Kellis and also Maggie. How you doing, Maggie?
Hey, Taryn. Hey, Kellis. I'm good. You know, I had a pretty busy weekend, so I had to take yesterday to kind of catch up on everything that had happened. Listen to all the live feed updates. All of the updaters did such an amazing job keeping me informed, and I was ready for it to be a wild day today, and it was super chill and like barely anything happened. So I think it's good after a couple days of intense gameplay to just have some calming time. Kind of relook at the map here.
Yes. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. It was day 12 in the house, and it was probably the slowest day of the feed so far this season. We've been having like consistently an hour and a half morning updates.
Yeah.
This will be a shorter one. I don't know if it'll be like short, because I always say it'll be shorter, but then it's not. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Also, like you get me on an update. Like I can talk about Big Brother and the cast for like 3 hours if I wanted to. So I promise I won't do that, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah. The
but
problem,
you know.
I have this problem in life sometimes too, where it's like I just feel. The time, like when I was in school, I always waited until the last minute to do any of my work, because if I didn't do that, I'd just always be working on it. Like, you know what I mean? I'd just spend more time on it. So I needed to arbitrarily stop myself.
That's a very good quality to have. I bet you were really good at school.
I wasn't bad, but like, I have the same problem with the updates where like, if I wake up with like 4 hours to prepare, I'll be like, I've got 4 hours to prepare. I've got so much time before that. And then I'll just be working the entire 4 hours instead of the whatever.
Oh. Well, that is not how I live my life at all. I admire that, but that's
I'm
not
already
what
doing it right now. I'm like, I've got plenty of time in this update. I can go off on a tangent about how I use time.
Oh, yeah. We're just chitter chattering over here, guys. Sorry. Right. I see the comments sometimes that are like, Maggie talks too much. And I'm like, it's a podcast. What would you like me to do? You know, but I'll try and keep it tight. All right.
Here we go. Let's talk about yesterday. There's really very little movement that happens in any sense, both with the veto, with the vote that's going to happen, and even with like future alliances and stuff. Nothing is really solidifying. Really very much a slow day here. We did see some talks between Alyssa and Whitney talking about their teams working together. Now, obviously, Tiffany has been pushing for the Kings Queens alliance. That has still not really formally solidified. And so in the meantime, Whitney is trying to push the Aces toward the Kings. It looks like everybody wants to work with the Kings. Why? Because they're winning competitions. Competitions is important. And Alyssa, you know, feels fine about that. Obviously, she's not going to turn down an opportunity like that. She does talk about Derek X. Derek X is obviously kind of the thing to talk about here. If Whitney wants to get the Aces as a whole to work with the Kings, she needs to make sure that the relationship between Derek X and Alyssa and Christian is okay. So she says that, you know, he may not be in like the alliance, the slaughterhouse thing, but he's okay. I trust him a lot. I think Derek X is he's a good guy.
It's so cool to go from last week on Monday when I was here, we were talking about Derek X and I was like, fingers crossed, this guy can figure something out. And then watching him just be such a social butterfly on the feeds yesterday, I really feel like he's found his way. He's really sort of been able to figure out how to talk to these people in the house, figure out, you know, what his role is to these people. Like he's one of the type of players I feel like who really understands how he needs to present himself to make people like him. Like he really has leaned into his role of being like the self-deprecating, like funny jokester type guy. And like, he even went up at one point to Christian and Alyssa and they were laying in bed together, which I'm sure we'll get to. But they were laying in bed together and he came up and they were talking about the veto and Christian was like, okay, so have you made a decision? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to use it on Frenchie. And both of them were like, and he was like, Did I get you? And they're all like, everybody started cracking up. They started messing around. Then it became like sort of like pile on Frenchie. Like how stupid would that be if they say Frenchie? So I feel like he's really finding his way on how to interact with these other house guests and what they want from him, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did that to Sarah Beth too. They were in the hammock and she was talking about like, she was talking like she was already safe this week. Like, can she turn the safety down? Like, what an idiot she would look like if she had been put up. And then she was like, wait a minute, you could still use the veto and I could still go up. And he's like, yeah, Kyle and I have been talking about it actually. Like,
yeah. But that's, I think that is in Big Brother. Like, you know, perception is reality. So if you go in there and you realize that all of these people see you as one thing, the best thing you can do is try and lean into that as much as possible. I think like I find that sometimes in new situations, the way that people can view me is sort of different than how I am around the people who are closest to me and who know me the best. But if I can tell that it's going well and people are responding well to their perceived idea of me, it's easy for me to be like, okay, well, I'll just sort of lean into this and like, this is killing. So, yeah, guys, I'm, you know, and I think that he's really sort of coming into his own in that. And I'm really happy that he's been able to find his footing because he's fun. I hope he's in it for the long haul.
Yes. So Alyssa says, yes, Derek X has been growing on me. And I'm glad she was glad that her and Christian apologized to him for essentially believing Frenchie's lies about him. But she is still a little concerned, like, you know, whether or not they apologized, you know, whether or not it was true. At the end of the day, there was some tension there at some point. And so she doesn't know where she stands with him.
Yeah, I think that Alyssa and Christian right now are, you know, yesterday we just saw a lot of them like in bed together, on the couch together. A lot of like, this is a one person seat and both Christian and Alyssa are taking up this space that's only allotted for one person. So there was a lot of cuddling, a lot of showmancing. And I was actually thinking a lot about this yesterday when watching the feeds, because this is usually when the feeds come on. Usually they're in the house from like 10 to 12 days for the first week. You know, it's an extended first week. And then these feeds come on and we watch people like Vanessa have like huge breakdowns. We watch people be laying in bed together. And so we're right at that point now where when the feeds come on, this is what we're seeing. And I saw a lot of this yesterday. I feel like I saw a lot of people sort of trying to emotionally come to terms with the fact that like, this is their life. This is what they're doing. I'm sure we'll get more into it, but I really identified, I think, with especially the people who are feeling overwhelmed, where like clearly they're feeling overwhelmed because it's a lot. It would be really, really, I mean, there's a billion reasons why I would never play Big Brother, but that is one of them. I think that it's such an emotional marathon. And right now they're getting over the first hump where it's very exciting. They've made it through the first week. It's very exciting. Now they actually have a second to breathe. And it's sort of like, what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's definitely a lot. So, I mean, really most of the day was spent, part of it too, is that they have the backyard and that's kind of a rarity in, you know, especially since last season. And so they were really just kind of chilling out there for a long time. But Whitney does, you know, stand up for Derek X here a bit. She likes Derek X. He's a loyal guy. And they both, Alyssa and Whitney, talk about throwing the next HOH. Yet again, Whitney feels very good about her position in the game. Alyssa feels like she's going to lean into the perception that people have of her, which is that she's pathetic. She can't win anything. And so I really don't like the idea of people throwing comps. I think this is a very, very bad idea, especially for Whitney. It's a little bit better for Alyssa because she actually is in a decent spot right now. Whitney, though, is not. She only thinks she is, but mm-hmm. she kind of feels like Whitney thinks that the women will not come for her. But that perception came from Frenchie. And Frenchie was wrong. And I think that she now knows that Frenchie is a liar and Frenchie was wrong about things, but she hasn't thought to like reconsider the original notions that she had about this current structure of the women going after the big targets. And yeah, she would only be a pawn next to Brent, but still, like, you don't want to be on the block next to Brent in any capacity. You know, no. What if Brent wins the veto? What if they change their minds? What if, like, anything could happen? And even just being on the block in general is a bad thing. So Whitney should absolutely want to win this HOH. Even if she wasn't a target, she should want to win this HOH because it would help solidify her position in the game. But she said not only does she want to throw this one, she wants to throw the next one after that too.
Sure. Yeah, I guess. I know she said that she wants to, you know, spread out her HOHs throughout the season. So I don't know if that's how it works, but in her head it is, I guess. I don't really.
Yes. All right. So Oz is going to talk to Tiffany a bit about feeling kind of left behind in the game because of her connection with Frenchie. And it's almost like Azza recognizes that people are judging her for having even considered keeping Frenchie, which is leading her to sort of try to defend why she wanted to keep Frenchie, which in some ways makes it seem like she still wants to keep Frenchie.
It's like confirmation bias, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not playing super well. So Tiffany's going to bring it back to Brent, and Azza agrees, like, Brent has to go. And that's what she should be focusing on, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But they have this, conversation here. There's going to be like a little bit of, tension, weirdness between Azza and Tiffany later in the day. I don't think it necessarily stemmed from here, but you know, this conversation happened.
Yeah, I think, well, this is sort of what I was alluding to before, where I think that people are just like really feeling exhausted right now. This is so much emotional and social energy to put forward. 12 days. Now these people are no longer strangers, but you've just spent the past 12 days talking to everybody at all hours of the day, staying up until 3 a.m, waking up at 9, being stressed that you could be targeted. And this is the first second I think that a lot of people have to breathe. And it's just sort of catching up with them, you know, and I completely empathize and understand because Big Brother is a marathon in so many ways. And that includes, you know, your social emotional health. Like I'm a super social person, but I think that if I was in there, I would just need breaks. Like, I understand why Azza has been like sitting in her room. You know, I've been hearing on the updates, people are like, Azza's been hanging out in her room. She's been disconnected from everybody. And I completely understand game wise why this is like, she shouldn't be doing this. But I also understand from a human level, sometimes you just need a break. Sometimes you just need to breathe and be with people you feel comfortable with. And I think that she, you know, she was mentioning to Tiffany that she feels bad about what she was saying in the DRs. And I also really identify with that. I think that in the heat of the moment, she was probably like, this is such a funny quip. And it was a really funny quip, some of the things she was saying. But then, you know, she listens to, because she said Brent was like a used car salesman. And she said that Frenchie is like a broken clock who's right twice a day, which is hilarious. And Tiffany was like, that's all you said? Like, you're fine. But, you know, I can understand why in the moment you're like, yeah, that was great. And then 4 days later, you're listening to Brent talk about his life and his family. And you're like, oh, my God, his family is going to hear me call him a used car salesman. And I don't think he's that bad, you know. So I get that it can play mind tricks on you and you can just spin and spin and spin. And I really think that that's where Azza is right now. And like you said, she's freaking out that people might think she wants to keep Frenchie. So now she's trying to convince people that that's not true. But it's hard to, I think, know when to push your point and when to back off. Yeah, I don't know. I went on a bit of a tangent there. But I think that yesterday watching these people, I really was starting to be like, oh, the game is starting to take a toll on them. Like they just need a second to breathe.
Well, I think yeah. And I think it's also like, it's almost like I'm feeling this right now where like, I'm constantly like working on like, you know, building things and, like fixing things. And I'm feeling like fine. But the second I like sit down for 2 seconds, I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm exhausted.
Yes.
And Frenchie's HOH reign was nonstop. Mm-hmm. And it was just chaos, and every single night it was something. And then Kylan came into power, and the meetings took place and the nominations, mm-hmm. and then the veto. And now it's like for the first time in the game, yes. things have taken a pause and they're getting to like sit back for a second. They're like, oh my God, what?
Yeah. Oh. What Jeez. Am I doing? Yeah. What am I doing? And now I'm thinking back at when I was so stressed and I'm embarrassed that I did or said certain things. And, you know, and she also has nothing to be embarrassed about. Those quips were hilarious, by the way. Keep those DRs up. Like, I love it. But I do empathize and understand. Like, I've played some of these games, you know, and it's a day long. And by hour 5, I'm exhausted. And I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. Can we please stop? Like, and I can't. So this, I think, makes more sense to me as to why whenever these feeds come on, we see people acting in a way where we're like, what? Like, this is night one for us. Like, we're ready. And they're exhausted already and emotionally spent. And we're like, what's going on with these people? Like, get it together. But I think that being able to watch from the very beginning to now with people who aren't seasoned, who haven't experienced this before, like last season, it really sort of gave me more of a perspective on just the mindset that is happening in the house right now.
Mm-hmm. So Derek is going to have a conversation with Claire, and you know they're talking about game. One thing that comes up here is that Derek mentions that he was talking to Xavier, and Xavier was suggesting to him that it might be a good idea to throw the next HOH especially to the Kings, Xavier's team, and that of course Derek would be safe with them. Derek is kind of just trying to like get Claire's advice on that. Like, do you think I should throw it? And she says like, definitely to Sarah Beth. I think you'd be good. You'd be good there. And then in general, like, yeah, it probably wouldn't be like the worst idea if it's like, and again, when they talk about throwing, it's usually in reference to like, if it's endurance, if it's something that it's very easy to see that it's like, it's only these people up there. I can drop mm-hmm. from here now. So Derek is, you know, considering that he doesn't want to have to, and he doesn't, I don't think he even like, cause again, Derek is like taking advice from people because he doesn't know the show very well. And mm-hmm. so like when Xavier, who knows the show very well, is like, you probably don't want to keep winning too many competitions in a row. You'll start to be seen as a massive threat. He's like, oh, really? Okay, maybe I should stop then. Claire, is this the thing? Do you stop winning if you...
Well, I also think that he is in a tough spot where he is aligned right now in his head. But what Tiffany is trying to make happen is this Kings Queens alliance plus Derek X. But if Derek X were to win, his team would be safe and he's aligned with the Kings and Queens. So he has three options. He has Azza, Big D, and Brittany. And that would be really tough for him. Like, he doesn't necessarily want to target those people. I think he would rather target people on his own team, but they would be safe because he would have won HOH. So I actually don't hate this from him. I think that maybe winning HOH would put him in a bit of a tougher spot and could make, you know, the people on the Jokers feel targeted all over again, like they have felt this week. Because he has such limited options based off of the way the alliance has sort of shaken out.
It's true. I don't think I would mind it for his game. It would kind of put, people like Kylan and Tiffany in a slightly tougher spot, because I think, for Tiffany especially, like, her game is built around, like, let's take out the rest of those aces. But if Derek won and took a shot at the Jokers, somebody like, Azza, Brittany, or Big D, especially if it did happen to be Azza or Big D, that's probably good, especially if it's Big D at this point, for Derek. And it would allow him to, keep Brent and Whitney, who right now do feel like they've got Derek on side. And those are numbers that Derek can probably rely on, won't come after him, because they've got a lot of bigger problems that they don't even know about yet. And even when they don't know about those problems, they're not going after Derek. Once they do know about those problems, they're definitely not going after Derek. So, So I actually don't mind it here from Derek if he did try to win, although we don't know if he will ultimately, since he is considering throwing it.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to you be like, don't throw any competitions. I feel like this is so counter to what we've been, you know, the strategy over the past however many years. It's just so interesting in a house where people are like really, really playing how important that is.
Yeah, I feel like over the last few years, it's something that, you know, I've been talking about, like, competitions are important, and that the way that the competitions are becoming more winnable is changing the meta of the game. It wasn't until like last season of Big Brother 22 when there were people outside of the committee who were throwing competitions early on. I was like, no, just, you stop. And I'm like, okay, we need to make this a point, because people are like, not a whole house of people can't play the Dan Gheesling, Dr. Will strategy.
Yep.
It doesn't work that you're just going to give it to the people who are winning the competitions. And the game, I think, again, has changed. Throwing competitions when most competitions were pretty random wasn't a bad idea, because you couldn't rely on continuing to win competitions very much. But you kind of can in modern Big Brother, and hopefully they're going to change that a little bit. But even so, just the ability, a capable player can use power in the game very, very effectively. And so most of the time I'm going to want people to win, a competition here or there.
It's like the meta strategy has changed because everybody knows the way that you're supposed to play. Mm-hmm. So when people know now and understand how you're supposed to play, that makes you have to shift, which is why I think the best players and the ones who are going to succeed 9 times out of 10 are the most adaptable, who can look at their house and be like, okay, everybody here knows the game. I need to do something different here. Yeah.
I do think it's like, it's also like, now that Kylan has won at this HOH, I don't think Kylan needs to win another competition for a little while, right? Like, this is it's an early HOH. He can set himself up. He doesn't need to win subsequent competitions. That's when I think throwing, as long as it's to the right people, could be in his benefit. But if you're somebody that hasn't won anything yet, or you're somebody like Derek X, who is like bottom tier in the social hierarchy, you need that kind of leverage. If you're somebody like Tiffany or Claire or Derek or Brent or anybody who, again, haven't really won much yet, or need to change the structure of the house, you can do that when you get power. Get the power, change the structure, lay back, let it play out. That's I think what I would advise for the most part.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And okay, so this is what we were talking about at the top of the update, right? Like, we can talk more about meta strategy because there wasn't much movement.
Hannah and Christian are going to be talking a little bit. They feel good about Tiffany. They don't feel great about the Jokers. The Jokers are becoming the new sort of house scapegoat. I don't know. I don't really know how those people are feeling right now. And I can talk about that because they don't have any power in this house. And
I have a hot take on Hannah. Okay. Because, we've been hearing people like haven't really been super connecting with her, and she is hilarious and she's really, really smart. And my take on it is she would be so good on this podcast. Because I feel like, probably. Seriously, because I feel like in every conversation she has, when I watch, it's sort of like she's conducting an interview. She's sort of emotionally detached, but it's very clear how intelligent she is about everything. You know, she asks like questions like, so what types of competitions do you think that you'll excel at? And then they'll spend 25 minutes talking about the different types of Big Brother competitions. And she can recall Big Brother knowledge like at the drop of a hat, which makes it easy to talk to her about that, but she doesn't really open up about herself very much. Like she's very careful to put the onus on the person she's talking to rather than share her own thoughts and experiences, which I understand going in sort of her strategy, or also if she's just, you know, a more private person. But I would love to see her talk about the overall, like get her on this podcast next season. Like I would love to see her do a morning update because I feel like she's so knowledgeable and so she understands the game so well. There's just a disconnect when it comes to what she's willing to open up about and share, because there's like a lack of, I think the house guests are feeling a lack of warmth from her. Because if you're going to share your experiences, you would like it to be reciprocated because then you're in it together. But she's sort of careful to keep a bit of distance there. And I think that she, you know, she's starting to sort of more come into her own and is becoming more open to that. But, yeah, that's my thought. Get Hannah on, Rob Has a Podcast or a Roundtable or something. I'd love to see her talk about the season as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, she's really great recall. I think that she's a little too willing to show that off. It's sort of like she's very used to being in school probably. Mm-hmm. And I know all the things. It doesn't super play well in the Big Brother house. But especially her conversational style, it's something that I noticed night one, when she was talking to Frenchie, like she's very good at small talk, of just like keeping a small talk conversation going by like asking follow-up questions and like questions. But it doesn't usually go very deep, I think, is the problem.
Yep.
She's almost too good at small talk, and she's able to keep it there. And it doesn't end going anywhere else.
And it makes sense too to me, because I heard that, you know, she's like maybe interested in Derek X and she has a little crush on him, which I love. Hannah, no need to go after our friend Enzo. Derek X is right there. Stick with that. It's very close in age. Love that for you. But I think that it makes sense to me that she is feeling connected to him, because he sort of keeps it small talky as well. And he's really good at sort of like asking deeper questions, but he keeps the feel of the conversation very light. Like I feel like I watch a conversation with Derek X and, you know, he could be talking to someone about their exes and the conversation feels very buoyant just because of the way that he's able to be self-deprecating and funny and like give little quips and one-liners. So it makes sense to me that Hannah would really connect with that type of conversation style. So I'm hoping that she can open up a little bit more, because it feels like she has all the tools, like all of it's there. She just needs to like really dig in and go for it with these people. And I'm really hoping she can. But I also think that part of it is that, like, you know, I was saying at the top of the update, like the way that people perceive you is what you should sort of like lean into. But Hannah is clearly a super confident girl and doesn't feel the need to, you know, pretend to be something that she's not. She just is who she is. And that's amazing for real life. I feel like I would love to hang out with her and get to know her. She seems so cool. But in there, I think for some people that can be a bit off-putting, because when people have power and you're sort of just like who you are, that can sometimes confuse people. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, for sure. And it's like, she is not somebody that goes out of her way to change the perception that somebody might have of her in order to make them feel more comfortable, if that makes sense.
Completely. And I love that for her, by the way. Amazing way to go through life. I wish I had more of that quality. But for the Big Brother house, like maybe we do need a little bit more of that so that you can win 3/4 of $1 million.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you bring up Derek X, because Derek X is very much the opposite in that mm-hmm. regard. He's very much willing to, like, whatever you want from me, like, and not in the Frenchy way where it's like, you know, weird, but in just like a very casual, light way. And it's very mm-hmm. funny watching Derek X and Brent interact, and the fact that they've been put together on this team and they're sort of forced to have this close relationship because they're complete opposite in that sense, where, like, you know, Derek X is always keeping it light. Even when the topic gets a little serious, he's able to like mm-hmm. be lighthearted about it. Whereas Brent, will take any chance he gets to go on to like give a TED talk or a speech about like,
what's the best advice I've ever gotten? Live, don't exist. Let me tell you why. When I worked at a...
And so he was having a conversation like that with Tiffany yesterday. Like, I wrote it down because he was like, I haven't lied once. You can ask anyone. I've been honest about everything. I told Travis I was voting him out because it's important to me not to lie. And I was like, okay, someone's really feeling themselves, you know? And it's fine, but for the game, it is hilarious to watch Derek X be like, haha, like I had a girlfriend who broke up with me and I had to walk home in the rain, haha. And Brent's like, well, one time I asked a girl for her phone number and she didn't give it to me, and you know, it was a tough moment. You're right, it is funny to just the dichotomy of the two of them together.
Yes. Christian and Alyssa, one of the bigger topics of the day, they're spending most of the day together. And people are starting to talk, are they a showmance? What's going on? They get called a showmance. They're like, what are we doing? Is this okay? Should we stop hanging out? Should we not stop hanging out? Is this going to be a problem? Christian is concerned. He thinks that Brent might be jealous. And this is that underlying tension, rivalry, you know, that we've been talking about, that it's never spoken aloud between the two of them, but occasionally they'll tell somebody else about it. He said, I walked in once on Brent talking about how pretty you were. So obviously he's jealous of us.
Sure. Okay, my thing is, like, you know, of course people are gonna talk. They're literally like laying in each other's arms. You do not let someone touch you like that for an extended period of time if you don't like them. Like, it just doesn't happen. So, like, of course, if I walked by them, like I said, they're in a twin bed together. These two adult people are lying on top of each other in a twin bed or on top of each other on the couch. Like, that's a space for one person. And you have two people really, really cuddling it up in that space. If I walked by that, I would be like, okay, clearly there's something going on there. Because it's one thing if you're on the hammock together and it's a spot for three people and someone could just walk up and lay down. But I do not allow people to get that close to me unless I like them and am into them. So I just think that, of course, there's something going on there. Like, within a couple of days, we're going to see them making out, which they're gorgeous. Good on them. Go for it. And they also, I think, are in a spot right now in the game where people are wanting to work with them rather than wanting to target them, which is good. And it's that showman's thing where suddenly it becomes two votes rather than one if you're working with the showman's. So, you know, and Brent, I'm sure, will be able to get over it unless Christian has to kick him out of the house first. But
yeah, I mean, this underlying tension between Brent and Christian that has existed from the start, I think could end up being one of the more important aspects of the cast and how they play this game, because Brent and Christian together, as Derek X said, is the scary thing, especially if one of them win. And if one of them win, I expect that they will try to do their best to be like, hey, we're bros. But if they can't work together because of this underlying tension, that will absolutely allow, you know, their games to be much more dictated by, the rest of the house.
I mean, are we interested in this storyline? These like two guys fighting over this girl and like, is this like, I mean, I understand that it's so important, but I'm just like,
it's more
like thrilling to me. I don't know.
It's more of like in Game of Thrones, like this is why Dorne wasn't a big power in the, you know what I mean? Like this is a side story, about, why, they might be, screwing themselves over with this little, mini drama they've got going on.
I see. I did watch Game of Thrones, but I don't know anybody's names. Like I would always refer to them as like, you know, Redbeard and Tall Lady. So, Dorne is
a kingdom.
Okay, then never mind. We'll move on.
So
I'll look it up after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was not well represented on the show.
My lack of knowledge on it.
Yeah, they are gonna ask Christian and Alyssa, they're gonna ask Tiffany for advice here. Tiffany, do we need to worry about how much we're hanging out? And Tiffany's like, no, don't worry about it. You're fine. Only Frenchie cared. Now that Frenchie's leaving, nobody's gonna care that you're a showmancer, and nobody's gonna care. Don't worry about it. You're fine with me.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
You're a wonderful target ahead of me. I love it.
Yeah. Tiffany said, I would love to keep you here as long as I can to make sure that that target on me is shielded, that nice shaded person behind you. I don't know. And I understand that showmances can be great tools, you know, in the game. But like I said, I just don't know if I'm ever like, really into, clearly they like each other and they can't help themselves and they're very into each other. So that's what they're doing here.
Well, I mean, you're saying you're not excited about the showmance, but I've heard from a lot of people, and that does not necessarily mean you, but would you be excited about a Derek X Hannah showmance?
I'm not excited about the showmances that just lay around together and are obvious and then are like, oh no, should we be doing this? Well, we just can't help it. You know, like that's not exciting to me. I like the ones where they're like flirting with each other and it's like, will they, won't they? Like that's my type of romantic comedy, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, you've never watched that rom-com about the two hot people that lay around in bed together all day?
No, I haven't. Oh, what's weird. It called?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's lots of them.
So yeah, like yeah. I think I would be more interested in a Hannah Derek X showmance just because I feel like I could have fun with it. You know, like we could at least be like, ooh, what's going on here? Versus like, well, this is what's going on here. They're laying around and their faces are this far away from each other. And they're, you know, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like good on them, good for them. I am happy. I don't know if that's like the most exciting thing for me to watch on feeds.
Yeah. Of course, there's lots of Frenchie content going on, mostly Frenchie and Big D, because again, he's one of the few people that is really entertaining Frenchie.
Hold on, Taryn. Sorry. Pause. Can we just take a second to rejoice that we're 36 minutes into this update, and this is the first time we've really talked about Frenchie?
Well,
last week when I was on, I was like, I'm done talking about Frenchie. I don't want to talk about him anymore. And we made it 36 minutes. That's all I have to say.
Yes, right, we did. Everybody. We did. He is doing things. It's just much more irrelevant than it was last week.
Totally. So
I've consolidated it a bit.
Thank you for that. For my sake. Thank you, Taryn. I appreciate it.
One of my favorite moments was he was talking to Big D and Big D was like, so what if there's a battle back? Will you stay for it? And Frenchie was like, Not if I'm sitting there for 4 weeks. And he was like, no, it'll only be like 2 weeks. Come on. Frenchie was like, okay, fine. I'll stay for you, Big D. You've convinced me.
Oh, Frenchie. I do feel like, because I know he's going to watch these podcasts. So sorry about it, Frenchie, but this is embarrassing. You really did a number on yourself there in the house. Good luck to you. You know, have a good time with your family. Sorry that you're, you know, watching these podcasts and it's tough on you, but, I don't know what else to say.
Damn. There was so Tiffany and Azza, and I had fun with this, but, they have a bit of a tiff, that happens here.
A tiff.
Yes, exactly. We didn't exactly catch the exact cause or all of this. The feeds were cutting in and out. Uh-huh. It sounded like, based on what Tiffany was saying later, that, Azza was kind of like, what's wrong with you, Tiffany? Like, what's going on? And maybe that's along with the, you know, Frenchy stuff. I'm not exactly sure what was going on, but Tiffany was essentially just can I be upset about any, like, what, like, mm-hmm. can I not be asked if I'm upset? She was having a bit of a night.
And, you know, I get it. Again, we're going back to like, this is now 12 days. We have some time. I also identify with, I think what was going on with Tiffany is it could be many things. She's exhausted. She's hungry. She's feeling uncomfortable. She's missing her kids. You know, there's something outside of what's going on right in front of her that's making her mad. She's in a bad mood, you know, and she clearly was lashing out a bit, just a bit, because she was in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. And then I watched her get embarrassed about the fact that she couldn't keep her emotions in check for, you know, one singular second in the house. I watched her get embarrassed about it and then be like, I'm sorry, I'm being a bitch. Like, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I'm going to remove myself from the situation because I just need a second to take a breather. And I'm sorry. And she removed herself, which I had to do that this weekend. I got overheated at a restaurant and had to remove myself from my friends because I was being rude because I was uncomfortable. You know, I've been there. And she was just like, she took the second and was like, shouldn't have done that. But you know, you're only human. This is an exhausting game. She's doing amazing and she's worked so hard to put this structure in place. She just needed a second. And you know, Frenchie and Derek F went to follow her and then were like, are you mad at me? And she was like, I'm sorry. I just like need a moment. I just need to breathe. And I totally get it. Like, luckily, hopefully, Derek F, like, apparently something had happened the night before, too. And Derek F went and talked to her about it in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a bit of a storyline, I think, with her and Big D.
Yeah, Big D, it has been, so it's hard to follow because it's hard to follow Big D in particular. Mm-hmm. But Big D has been talking about Tiffany, and that's something that actually I had forgotten to mention yesterday. He was talking about her to somebody. And mentioning her as like, hey, she's gotta go at some point. And it was like, well, that's weird. And I think perhaps now we're getting a little more context that like, you know, she had, or he felt like she had yelled at Derek X for giving her a dish or something. So like there's something weird going on there. He also obviously is, you know, kind of wanted to target the women. This all gets brought up a little bit. And Frenchie's trying to mediate and be like, no, you guys, you are my only people in this house. You need to look out for each other. Poor Tiffany is, you know, also talk like,
yeah.
Now I'm gonna be the angry black woman. Big D's like, no. And like it's just like it was kind of like in a day that was very slow and this was basically all that happened. But it was also kind of like not really much.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it just comes back at the end of the day too, like they're all feeling a bit overwhelmed and like it's their 1 second to breathe. And she just probably needed some alone time, which is out of character for Tiffany because she is such a social butterfly. And it's that type of thing where like when you are like you are so like able to counsel people and talk to people and strategize with people and you are like the, you know, the most social person in the house and you just want like 20 minutes to yourself, people are going to be like, oh my God, is there something wrong? Is there something wrong with her? When in fact, she probably just wanted to decompress for a second. And then people were calling her out on that. And then she felt like she had to be self-deprecating because she doesn't want to be perceived a certain way. And that was my take on it.
So Frenchie is also going to be, you know, talking to himself, talking to some other people. He says that, everyone in this house is so fake. So fake. You know, I would have thought that somebody who was like a super fan of the show would know to not fall into that trap of like, it's just like every person that's ever been evicted from Big Brother, especially early on, has always, these people are so fake.
Taryn, it's Frenchie. Are you kidding? That's the trap that you're like, wow, I can't believe he fell into that trap, calling someone fake. Like,
It's an even more obvious one.
Yeah, that's for sure the most embarrassing thing Frenchie has done as a super fan, for sure.
He's also, he says that there are only three people in the house that he trusts. Big D, correct. Sarah Beth, Tiffany. He's going to have a fun time watching the episodes.
Great reads from French. Good job, French Fry. You got it.
And like I said, he's telling like Big D, you got to look after Tiffany. You got to look after her. And he's also going to pitch to Kylan, hey, you should use the veto on Brittany. But I guess it's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I do think like I understand why Azza is wanting that. Like, I understand why they're wanting that. Then you can put Brent up and maybe vote out Brent. But that's just not happening with everything Frenchie has done. It's just, there's just no way. No, not a single person is on his side except Big D. And even like Azza and Brittany are on his side because they're on his team, you know, less than.
Somebody asked, why does he trust Sarah Beth? She's actually been, when she talked to Kylan the day before, she mentioned that they, the Jokers essentially don't know like how involved she was in making this happen. They think she's still on their side. And so she's actively been playing that up, especially with Frenchie, like what can we do, Frenchie? Like, it's a little unnecessary, but it's kind of fun.
Just going to say, I bought a bunch of Sarah Beth in the stock watch. I'm pumped about it. Can't wait to see what happens tomorrow night, but really, really loving what I'm seeing from Sarah Beth this week. So.
Yes. All right. Finally, late into the night, we get a conversation between Brittany, Azza, and Big D. Brittany had previously expressed that she didn't want to win the next HOH, but now she's feeling pumped up. She wants to do it. She wants to go and win, and she wants to take a shot. Azza's like, at Brent and Brittany. Yes. That's when Big D is going to bring up Derek. Of course, because he always does. That kid's a threat. And Azza is done with it. Azza is like, he's not a threat. What are you talking about? It's this guy, he's a nice guy. He's a loyal guy. He's got nobody in this house. Why are you always talking about Derek X like he's some big threat? And Big D's like, whoa, no, okay, yeah. No, you're right. I'm just saying. He's like, yeah, and I'm just saying, you know, he's won a couple of competitions. You never know what he might do. He doesn't have anybody there. He could be convinced into doing things. Like, yeah, because he's got nobody. These people are using him. I feel bad for this guy. I like Derek X. He doesn't know the game. He just came into this house and he happens to be good at competitions. Big D's like, I don't know what he would do. Like, maybe you would know what he would do if you would talked to him instead of about him.
Yes. But also, to be fair, Big D has the right read. Derek X would have to go after him, you know, like based off of his alignments. We just talked it through, you know, 20 minutes ago. He would have to go after him. But yes, Azza, exactly. Go talk to him rather than about him. Tell him.
It was pretty great.
He's awesome. I love Azza so much. Like, I'm really, really hoping that she can kind of pull out of the, you know, I hope she wins HOH next week, or I'm hoping that she can pull out of sort of the slump that she's in, because I adore Azza. I think that she's awesome. I think she's got the right idea. I understand right now she's sort of exhausted and it's been a tough week for her, but I have faith. Azza, come through. I hope next time I'm talking about you, we're talking about what an amazing position you're in. You got this.
It honestly, I love this from Azza, and I want her to say these things to Derek X too. Like, mm-hmm. I want her to be telling him how much she likes him. Like Tiffany does it a lot. Tiffany works on Derek X a lot. If Azza likes him so much, I want her to be talking to him that much as well. Mm-hmm. And I want her to be getting in with him so that if he does win, he doesn't have to target Azza or somebody that mm-hmm. she's close to and that she'll have some influence over him. But I loved this from Azza. I thought it was a very fun thing to listen to. Brent, of course, is going to be going around. He talks with Derek, and then he talks to Derek about it. He's like, so the females in this house are, Brittany's, potentially starting this alliance. And I think what I would do with my nominations, I put Brittany up on the block and then put another female next to her, with any one of them. And then
a female?
If somebody comes down, then another female to replace, because, mm-hmm. It's 8-6 right now and we got to make sure we don't lose the numbers. What would you do? Which females would you put up, Derek X? And Derek is good at, just not answering the question, even though Brent keeps pressing. And then Whitney comes over and Brent gives her the same exact spiel. Whitney, what I'm thinking is I would put up Brittany and another female. I would say that I want to keep the gender balance, even, we gotta make sure the females don't have, more than the males.
So Whitney's like, great.
Yeah.
Gosh. So, and it's like, why are you saying female? Like, you're like, I would put up someone of the female sexual variety. Like, God, I hate that word. I said it last week too. Stop saying female. Enough, everybody. Oh, Taryn, I have a question for you, because they played Mafia at the end of the night. You're in the Big Brother house. Everybody's playing Mafia. Mm-hmm. How do you play it?
I would play it like I was trying, but I wouldn't be trying as hard as I would actually be trying.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Same. And I think that I could get away with like being like bad, like really bad at it and like messing up the rules or something. But there's no way that I would ever play in the Big Brother house a game like Mafia and be like, I'm killing it and like really go in and try to win.
I wouldn't like go full on like, oh, I suck at this. Like that would be, but
not
I would,
in your I nature.
Would, I would do no, no. I just think that people would catch on. They'd be like, "Oh, this guy's pretending like he's terrible at this," which is almost worse than if I had been good at it. I would want people to feel like they could beat me, but in a way that they thought they were getting one over on me, and not that I was getting one over on them.
Totally. I just wanted to ask because I think that if I was in the house and people were like, let's play Mafia, I would be like, please no. I don't want to have to deal with this. Like, oh, my stomach hurts, I can't play. Like, I just think that I would rather play, something else that's like we can do heads Among up, seven us. Up or something. Yeah. Heads Run up, around. Seven up, everybody close their eyes and put up their thumb. Like we're in second grade.
All right. So that was basically the day. I mean, Brent did talk about living and not existing and all of that. That was pretty much the day. Anything else you want to bring up, Maggie?
That was it. That was all I had. I'm surprised we got 50 minutes out of this. Sorry, everybody, if it was too long. But, there was important conversations that needed to be had about females. So
very much so. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us here today. Tune in later today. It's a great day for the slop with Rob and the patrons, the patron group or whatever it is called. It's a patron show. Patron show.
And Slop. Kirsten's on, which is like the most exciting. So I can't wait. Go. Kirsten make me laugh.
Yes. Being sloppy. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. Tomorrow night will be the next roundtable podcast where we will go over the Stockwatch, give some ratings to these players. Should be very fun now that things have shifted. We're going to have some fun. So tune in for all of that. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, or on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. Maggie, where can people find you?
Sure. I'm not on Big Brother Twitter this season, but I am on Instagram @MLMorgan_, I will post photos of my life.
There it is. Post photos of you walking out of restaurants.
went to the bathroom because I had to get out of the un-AC area. And then the bathroom didn't have AC, so I came back in a worse mood.
Did you expect the bathroom to have AC when the rest of the restaurant didn't?
Yes, because it was, okay, I don't even know if people will care about this. We can talk about this off camera, but yes, I did. Because the restroom was on a completely different floor, and it was like outdoors, so yes, I did. But then it was way hotter in the restroom. And like everything was sticking to me and it was too much. I got very overwhelmed. But yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. I hope you all find your air-conditioned restrooms and I'll see you next time.